All right, get ready to dive deep, because today we're going all the way to Turkey.
Yvette, we're about to unravel a fascinating story.
About how hard or easy it is for people to kind of reach a different economic level than their parents. You'd think it'd be simple, but the research we're looking at today, it throws some curveballs, let me tell you, especially when we're talking about gender.
It's really quite interesting. This research we'll be discussing is by Demirtas and Tarul.
Okay.
And it's groundbreaking stuff, the first to tackle this topic in Turkey using this kind of data, really. They dug into data from the Turkish Statistical Institute, a gold mine, really, and used some pretty sophisticated analysis to get these results. Don't worry, though, we'll spare you the hardcore stats.
Ah, good. My brain can only handle so many numbers before it needs a strong cup of Turkish coffee. So, bottom line, what do they find? How mobile is Turkish society?
Well, to start, think about this. What if your parents' income basically cast this long shadow on your own economic future? That's kind of what they found when they looked at father-son pairs in Turkey. They found the earnings elasticity, which just means how much your parents' economic advantage or disadvantage you inherit,
Right.
that sits at 0.51.
0.51. So like a little over half. Help me wrap my head around that. What's that number actually mean in the real world?
Okay, so say there are two dads. One makes, let's say, 10% more than the average dad. His son, because of this 0.51 elasticity, is likely to end up earning about 5.1% more than the average son just because of who his dad is.
So it's not like a one-to-one inheritance situation, but it's still a pretty significant leg up.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the really interesting part, that 0.51 elasticity for Turkey, it's shockingly close to what researchers have found in the United States.
Whoa, really? You're saying Turkey, a country we often think of as less economically developed, has similar levels of like economic stickiness as the US? That's kind of mind-blowing.
It really is. It challenges our assumptions about economic mobility, where it's easy, where it's difficult to move up or even down that income ladder.
This is already making my head spin, and we're just getting started. So, where does the whole gender thing come in? You mentioned daughters earlier.
This is where it gets really interesting. Remember that 0.51 elasticity for sons?
Yeah.
Well, get this, for daughters in Turkey, it's double.
Double. Are you serious? So daughters are twice as likely to inherit their parents' economic, like, fate. That seems completely backwards. Don't we usually hear about daughters facing more barriers, not less?
Exactly. It's a real head scratcher. You'd think daughters, especially in a more traditional society, might have less economic mobility, not more. But the data is clear, and now we have to figure out what's going on.
Okay, so we've got this economic mystery on our hands. Daughters in Turkey inheriting their parents' economic status at twice the rate of sons. What did the researchers do with that? How did they even start to figure that out?
Well, they started thinking maybe just looking at what individuals earn, their individual earnings might not be the whole picture. Maybe they needed to zoom out a little look at the household income instead.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Especially in a more traditional society like Turkey, family plays a huge role.
Exactly. So they shifted focus from those individual earnings to look at the overall economic well-being of the whole household, right? And guess what they found? The gender gap in mobility basically disappeared.
Wait, what? Seriously, it just vanished.
Pretty much.
So daughters might seem like more tied to their parents economically if you just look at their individual earnings, but then when you factor in the entire household income, it kind of balances out. It's like a hidden safety net or something. But why? Why the difference in the first place?
That's where the history of women in the Turkish workforce comes in.
Okay, let's talk about that. What's the connection there?
Traditionally, Turkey's had a lower rate of women participating in the workforce compared to other, more developed countries.
Okay, so fewer women working overall.
Yeah.
What about the women who do work?
Well, they often face, limited opportunities. They often run into a pretty stubborn gender pay gap, too. And I mean, that's not unique to Turkey. We see that in a lot of places, but it's definitely a factor there.
Right, where maybe traditional roles and expectations might mean women end up focusing more on family than career, even if.
Even if they want both.
Right, exactly. So, how does this all tie back to the daughters and this whole economic puzzle?
Think about it this way. If women are less likely to be employed in the first place, and the ones who are working often find themselves in jobs that pay less, then their individual earnings might not be the best measure of their actual economic situation.
Because their household income, which includes what their spouse makes or other family members, might paint a more accurate picture of their situation.
Exactly. And that's why those daughters, they don't seem quite as economically stuck to their parents anymore.
I see. This is so interesting. It highlights something really important, too. When we're looking at something as complex as, you know, income mobility, we can't just scratch the surface.
Right. Context is everything.
It's like one of those optical illusions. What you see at first glance isn't always the whole story.
Exactly. And speaking of seeing the whole picture, focusing just on averages can be misleading too, even if we are factoring in things like household income.
Hold on, we're talking about averages now.
Yeah.
You're going to send my brain on another wild ride, aren't you?
Don't worry, it's a fun one. Let me tell you why averages, while useful sometimes, don't tell the whole story.
Okay, you've got me curious. Why are averages the bad guys in this whole economic thriller?
Well, think about it this way. You could have two countries with basically the same average income mobility, right?
Right.
But the actual experience of moving up or down that ladder, it could be totally different.
All right, I need an example. Paint me a picture.
Okay, so imagine one country where it's like really hard to climb out of poverty, but once you're at the top, you're pretty much set. Like your kids, your grandkids, they're good.
Okay.
Now picture another country where getting to the top, it's actually doable.
Okay.
But staying there, that's the hard part. People are constantly moving up or down. It's way more unstable.
Oh, I see what you mean. Both of those scenarios could technically have the same, like, average mobility score.
Yeah.
But the reality on the ground is totally different. So how do we get past these averages that don't really tell the whole story? Did our researchers, did they figure out a way to do that?
They did. They used a couple of different techniques. One's called the rank-rank slope, which sounds way more complicated than it is. Basically, imagine like an actual ladder.
Okay.
And each rung is a different income level. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rank-rank slope tells us how steep that ladder is.
Gotcha. So a steeper ladder means it's harder to climb. Your spot is more tied to where your parents were.
Exactly. And guess what? When we compare Turkey to the U.S., Turkey's ladder, it's steeper. So even though their average mobility rates are similar, moving up or down is tougher in Turkey.
Hmm. I get it. It's like those ladders on a playground, the one where the rungs are closer together. That's always easier to climb.
There you go. You're getting it.
We're talking about ladders, societies, mobility.
Yeah.
My brain feels like it's doing economic gymnastics over here.
And you thought we were just taking a trip to Turkey.
I clearly packed the wrong suitcase. Okay, so we've got our economic ladder image burned into our brains. What other tools did the researchers use to kind of navigate this whole mobility maze?
They also looked at how people move between different income groups over generations. Think of it like snapshots, right?
Right.
Like we're taking pictures of the economic landscape, say, every 20 years, and we're seeing how much things are changing, how much movement there is.
And what did those snapshots show about Turkey? Was there a lot of movement or were people kind of staying put?
Well, what they found is that there's a lot of stickiness at the top and the bottom.
Okay, interesting.
Imagine a society where it's like the same families occupying those top spots generation after generation. It's like a never-ending game of Monopoly where the bank always wins.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's happening in Turkey, though not quite as extreme, of course. And it's a similar situation at the bottom. Breaking out of poverty, really difficult.
So less movement at the extremes. It's tough to get in with the economic elite, and escaping poverty can feel almost impossible. That's not exactly a recipe for a successful economy, is it?
It's definitely a challenge. And these patterns of inequality, you know, they're not unique to Turkey. Researchers are seeing this kind of thing pop up all over the world.
So it's a global issue then, really.
Yeah.
How do we create societies that are actually mobile, where everyone has a real shot, regardless of where they started?
That's the million-dollar question. And even though this particular research was about Turkey, it really highlights something that matters everywhere. Understanding these patterns, these long-term patterns of income mobility, it's crucial.
To create a system that's actually fair.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive into intergenerational income mobility in Turkey and kind of everywhere, really. Thanks so much for joining us and for lending your expertise to this really complex topic.
My pleasure. It's been a fascinating conversation.
And to our listeners, as always, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.